Well, praise the Lord. I want to begin a series here called The New Normal. The New Normal. Now, you've been hearing that term, and I don't know just how many weeks I'm going to take on this, but at least it's going to be over the summer series, because over the summer season, because I believe that while the world's talking about, you know, how things are going to be after the pandemic, you know, as we're re-entering life a little bit more as normal, amen. I'm seeing fewer masks as people are getting the vaccine or whatever, or having had the plague. I call it the plague, the pandemic, you know, COVID, and becoming self-vaccinated that way. I just believe that the church is emerging in a greater power. You know, tribulation and testing, it kind of brings the Spirit of God out of you. It causes God to show up in your life. As I looked up in the dictionary what the new normal definition is, and you know, there's new things coming out in the dictionary now. It's the state to which a society settles following a crisis from what previously prevailed. And, you know, one thing that I know has happened in our home, we have a whole lot more deliveries these days. You know, there's more people working from home, staying at home. You're purchasing, getting groceries at home. Anybody done that, you know, over this past year? Amen. There's less shopping in person at stores, I think, because of that, and even causing some stores to close down. You know, one of my favorite stores, because I can get shirts real cheap there, is Van Heusen, you know, at the outlet mall. And I was there recently, and they said, well, you can't bring anything back now because we're closing. I go, what? He said, all of our stores are closing. Just going to everything online now. You know, the old DeSoto Square Mall, closing. They don't know that it's ever going to open again because there's been so much buying, you know, from home. So I don't know it's whether it's good or bad, but it's changed for sure. There's more concern about health, safety, security, a lot more purchasing of guns. I don't know if that's good or bad, but people concerned about the security. Disappointment, discouragement, a lot of depression, anxiety because of just uncertainty about the future. A lot of deaths of loved ones. You know, I know we've been doing a lot more celebrations of life, it seems, recently. Some are COVID-related, some are not. But loss of jobs, loss of businesses. I know the children have been discouraged about not going back to school and about the sports teams not functioning, stuff like that. This is all kind of a new normal. Graduations. Our son graduated from college, and it wasn't a big gathering. It was just one family at a time. That was kind of a new normal. I kind of liked it, though. We had the close-up shots of our son graduating from college. But I believe that this stress about the future, about the uncertainty, unpredictability of what's to come, I believe, church, is an opportunity for God. I believe it's going to be a great opportunity for the church as the people of God rise up. We're coming back to church. We're coming out of isolation in that respect. But I really want to see a rebirth of the church, you know, making more impact in our society today. You know, Pentecost kind of marked the change for the for religion. I want to say the church was born there, but even before the church was born, when Jesus came, you know, people were doing things that represented church, a lot of liturgy, and really it had gotten kind of stale. It had gotten to where some of the church leaders, I'm thinking about like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees were sad, you see, you know. They had become kind of the most hateful people. I mean, they were supposed to be loving, caring, but it had just kind of gotten that way. The Pharisees were kind of far removed from the people. But then Pentecost came. And I want you to understand that Pentecost changed the way we relate to God. Because Jesus had been talking to his disciples about the fact that he had to go, and they were saying, no, don't go. But Jesus said, it's going to be better for you if I go. Because when I go, I'm going to send you my spirit to where I can live in you. That's going to be a lot more relational. And so I really believe that the fire, the tribulation, the persecution of the fire, I think it can bring God greater into the picture. You know this picture about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. Remember, Jesus showed up in the midst of the fire. The thing that stands out to me the most, though, is that old evil King Nebuchadnezzar, he saw Jesus. This was not just a spiritual vision that we're seeing by the three Hebrew boys, but it was something that the evil king saw. And he commanded that all the people worship the God of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let me tell you, could that happen in our time to where kings and presidents and prime ministers would see God emerge? It takes fire to bring God out. You know why? It takes fire for us to cry out to God. Have we cried out to God during this pandemic? I know we have. We've called more prayer times here. We've fasted and prayed. We're declaring what we believe. And I believe that in the same way that Pentecost was the cure for whatever was happening to religion in Jesus' day, Pentecost is the cure today. Because what we really need is a people to emerge with a better understanding that God is alive and well on planet Earth today, not 2,000 years ago, but today. And there's nothing like a miracle like this, or like miracles of blind eyes open, or terminal illnesses healed, or people set free from addictions that, you know, the world can't solve, but only God can solve, that brings people into a real understanding of God. So I believe that fire and persecution causes us to wake up. And that's why Ephesians 5:14, read it with me. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine from you. Remember Ezekiel 37 about those dry bones that God showed Ezekiel. And he said, Ezekiel, can these dry bones live again? I mean, if the church got a little dry, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel said, God, only you know. God said, no, prophesy to the bones. And I believe that's what we're doing right now. And in this series, I want to prophesy to your bones. I want to prophesy to the Spirit of God in you and awaken that Spirit of God that's inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That scripture goes on to say, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I'm so glad you've come to church, because one thing I'm passionate about is to help God's people discover what this book means for today. Not just Bible stories of yesterday, but how we can apply the principles of God to make a difference in our lives today. And look at that. I believe because the days are evil, there's more opportunities. Because the days are evil. And I believe because people are walking in this uncertainty, we have more of an opportunity to declare that God has an answer. I mean, to take somebody by the hand and actually pray for them. So what I want to declare in this message is that we're moving from religion to relationship, because that's what Pentecost does. It makes you discover that the God who created the universe lives in my heart. That song, how big is God? How big and wide his vast domain. And then it says, he's big enough to rule this mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. Do you realize the same God who created the universe lives in us? He's that close. And we can have that kind of fellowship with him. So in the weeks to come, I really want to help us understand from the Word of God how having God living in us now and with us makes all the difference. It makes a difference in your marriage. Hello. It makes the difference in your relationship with your children as a father or a mother. It makes a difference in how you operate on the job or in the marketplace. It makes a difference in our relationship with God. I mean, we're in a place now where we can actually hear God's voice, where God speaks to me, where God comforts me when I'm stressed out, so I don't have to live in depression or in fear. You have anxiety, but you've got the God of all peace and all comfort living in you. So we're gonna just discover that a little more as we go forward. Religion is about doctrines and liturgy and do's and don'ts, but relationship is about God wanting a family and God wanting to have fellowship with you, not just relationship, not just to say, well, I'm a part of the family of God. Well, yeah, my children are a part of the Durstein family, but I want them to climb up on my lap. I want my little son to like me and talk to me and want to play with me. My little grandson, Lukey, was here for, he'll be in the next service, but I just kind of have been recently declared to be his favorite. It's Pop-Pop this, Pop, where's Pop-Pop? Gotta find Pop-Pop. Why not? I don't change his diapers. I just play with his cars, toys, together with him on the carpet, you know? That's my role with him. So far, I've gotten away without changing a diaper. 2 years, you know, because I just decided there's plenty of others that can do that. But I have a relationship with him. And God wants a relationship with us as a family. And, you know, he makes it possible by the power of the Holy Spirit for us to get close and closer to him. And the closer you get to the light source, the bigger your shadow. You know, that picture right there actually happened with little Lukey one time. We were at a theme park at night, and there was a big spotlight up against this building. And he's just into everything. So he ran up to it, you know, and when he got up to the light, you know, his big shadow hit the side of this building, you know, and he looked around and, whoa, he saw that, you know. Wow, man, I want us to see that with the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and as we get close to God, we throw a big shadow. We don't have to be afraid. We've got the strength of the Lord living in us. This is why Jesus said, it's better for you that I go. Jesus, we don't want you to go. We want you to be here. We want to hang out with you. But Jesus says, no, when I go, I'm not going to just be with you. I'm going to be in you. That's even better. So what's the new normal for us? That's where I want to go. Here's the first point that I want to make today. We have the Holy Spirit working in us. I want you to turn to Galatians. I'm going to just read some scripture out of Galatians if you have your Bible today, because in this book, Apostle Paul was bringing some correction to the church in Galatia by saying, you know, you're starting to lose your faith. You're starting to lose, and I'm going to say Revelation talks about your first love. In fact, I'm on chapter 3, but in chapter 1 in verse 6, it starts out. He says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all, he says. That's in the NIV. And then in verse 3, he says, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? What does that mean to us? We are people of faith. We are people that we believe that we're saved by the grace of God and by faith and not by works. But what happens is sometimes the longer we go in God, the more critical we can be of others. because somehow we feel like we got more spiritual. Well, if we get more spiritual, the effect that that should have is that it brings out more of the love of God that's in us to others. More of the fruit of the Spirit. More long-suffering. More goodness. And so here's the Apostle Paul saying, why are you going back to works? And of course, the Jewish people were going back to a lot of the liturgy that they were so familiar with. The verse goes on to say, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that's most of us, through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So this series, church, is going to be a lot about how do we connect up with the Spirit of God that's inside of us. If you're saved, you have the Spirit of God within you. But so many people have allowed God to just be dormant in them or sleeping. I say, wake them up. We're going to wake them up. I want to help you see through Scripture how because of Pentecost, we now have access to God's Spirit, God Himself, by being members of His family. I want you to see that because of the promise of the Spirit that's been given. Let me show you a picture here. I preached on this recently about how David, he brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. Remember, he danced before the Lord. Well, before God came to earth in the person of Jesus, people could only reach God through the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was a golden box. It was carefully crafted with the instructions of God. This ark could only be carried by the priest. You see the priest carrying it there. And the presence of God, the manifest presence of God, resided between the two cherubims, the two angels on top of that box. Now, inside the box, we are told that there were the Ten Commandments that God had written out of stone with his own finger. Remember that? With Moses. There was Aaron's rod that budded. There's a golden pot of some of the manna that God had created to feed the children of Israel as they wandered in the desert. All of these things that were in that box demonstrated and represented the miracle-working power of God. And this Ark of the Covenant was kept in the Holy of Holies, in the deepest center of the temple. And only the priest could go into that space. Remember the veil, this 60-foot heavy curtain that kept everybody out. And even the priest could only go in there at certain times. But all that changed when Jesus fulfilled the plan of the Father, dying on the cross. Remember when he said, it's finished? The plan of God is finished. When that happened, the veil was rent from the top down, giving access to us to come into the presence of God. And then, of course, on the day of Pentecost, the power of God came and fell upon people and began to live in people. Hallelujah. So that's why when Jesus walked this earth, he used to say many times to the disciples, he says, I'm going to ask the Father, he's going to give you this counselor, another counselor that'll be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. He talked about this counselor being the paraclete, called alongside, the comforter, an intercessor, an advocate. I have put up a picture up on this screen many times. By the way, the next verse, I'm going to put it up here too. Because Jesus said, this paraclete, this counselor, is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. He says the world cannot see him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now. He says, I'm with you now, but later will be in you. I've put up this picture periodically to help you understand that this light, I'm going to put the light, is not only in the center of you, but it creates this force field around you, the power of God. I mean, doesn't it stand to reason if you've got God in your heart, He's going to create something around you that makes a difference in how you live. When you approach people, they can sense and feel something different. I'm declaring that in your life today because I believe, church, that we've got to rise up to this new normal. Why? There's a demand for God in the world today. And where is God? If He's up in heaven, He's not much good here on earth. But no, He sent His Spirit to earth. Well, where does He live if he's on earth? He's small enough to live within our heart. Everybody knows that. This today is the temple of the Lord. This is where God wants to work from. And I got to tell you, we saw in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. It totally made a difference in how the disciples operated in their life. In Acts chapter 3, as they're on their way back to church, they bumped into a crippled man. And instead of throwing him a coin or two like he was asking for, they said, look, take my hand, rise up and walk. And they started seeing miracles. In Acts chapter 4, people were saying about them, these people are those people that have been with Jesus. Because they're so bold. I'm going to say our boldness needs to increase. That's why we're taking people out on the streets. I always say that just going out in one of our go-out teams to talk to people and offer them prayer out on the streets, it's not real life. It's just kind of like a lab session to give you experience in just approaching perfect strangers with needs and offering prayer. But really, the world's hungry for this and getting more hungry. The world is hurting and needy and has a sense that it's a need that only God can meet, but they don't know how to find that God. Well, you and I are going to introduce them to that God because He's big enough to create and rule the mighty universe, but small enough. He lives in my heart and wants to live. He wants you to be a part of His family too. You know, I got to tell you, as I was born into a Christian family, my parents being ministers and having founded this ministry, you know, I'd been in church a lot of times. I'd been to the altar a lot of times. I got saved at a young age, you know, just through instruction about what salvation is and how to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. But it wasn't until my senior year of high school, on the carpet up here at this altar, that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, where Pentecost came to me. And it made all the difference in me. It changed my plans, my direction. I was planning to go to a secular school, a college here in Florida, and I decided instead to go to a Christian college in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Oral Roberts University. That was big because I was largely going to get free college in Florida, but I had to pay for this in Oklahoma. But it had changed the way I think. It made me bolder with my friends to talk about Jesus. Well, you know what? It was Pentecost that started this ministry. My parents were pastoring a small Mennonite church up in northern Minnesota where it's really cold in the winter. Ever heard of 50 below zero? I mean, the trees even know it's cold. When it gets that cold, they pop and bang, you know. Well, my parents were praying for revival, and Pentecost came to our Mennonite church that didn't believe in Pentecost. But when it came, it so changed my father and mother that they started obeying God that was speaking to them. God told them through prophetic utterances to move their family to Florida. That's 2,000 miles. We didn't know anybody in Florida. That's crazy, but God had a plan to birth the ministry as we know it and to take our family and our influence all over the world, you know, to start thousands of churches and mission endeavors like only God can do. That's Pentecost. That's the power of Pentecost. Totally changed my father's thinking and vision. I'm declaring that for you too, every one of you, not to start a ministry, but to break out of the limitations that religion puts on us and instead say, I'm a child of the creator of the universe, and begin to study and understand how to communicate with God and receive from God. So we not only have the Holy Spirit working in us, but we have relational fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 4, carry this out. And remember, we're talking about how the Apostle Paul was trying to bring correction to the church in Galatia. And he was saying, don't fall back. Man, when you got saved, you were excited. You were on fire for God. But don't get caught up in just religious practice. But get on fire for God, because you've got the Holy Ghost living in you. He says, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, or Daddy, Daddy, Father. So you're no longer a slave or a servant, but you're a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir. You know, I've said before, if we could get up one morning and we discovered that we were the son or daughter of the President of the United States, you know, we'd carry ourselves differently. Well, it's time for us to wake up and say, we're the son or the daughter of God. You know, God's got an assignment on my life. No matter how small you might see your realm of influence, inquiring minds in your realm of influence want to know more about God and want to receive from God. How are they going to receive from God? Through you. That's going to be amazing. God wants to empower us and help us to feel empowered every time we get up, every day of our lives, to feel empowered. Because then, whenever a storm comes, hey, we don't have to worry about it. When storms came for the disciples, Jesus was sleeping. They woke him up, fearful. Jesus said, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? You've got the miracle worker in your boat. We've got the miracle worker in our boat. 15 years ago, that young man playing the guitar up here, my son, Stephen, went with me. I brought him with me. He was 7 years old. I took him with me to Honduras, speaking of Honduras. And it was going to be fun for me to have my little son with me. You know, I wanted to show him around and increase his realm of experience, you know, with life. And he was playing with the little children. Well, we were going to travel one day from the mainland to Roatan, the Roatan Island, where we have a headquarters for our ministry as well. And I usually fly there. But I decided, because I had my son with me, I was going to take him on a boat. And we got on this boat. I don't know, it might have been about a 60-foot boat. You know, it was overcrowded, over 100 people on it. And I thought, well, you know, I wasn't real concerned about that until after we got on it, a historic storm came up. I mean, the greatest storm in the history of Honduras. And we're out on this stretch of water to take you out, you know, to an hour and some, hour and a half to get across on this ferry boat packed with people. Well, I thought, well, that's okay. I know how to swim well. But I'll tell you what, when that boat started rolling, side to side, huge swells and waves. I tell you, I started looking for safety equipment around me. There wasn't any, you know. We're in Honduras, right? But one thing I got to say, everybody was seasick, including me. I mean, people were showing it. They were sick because it was just too much, too long. But everybody except little Stephen, 7 years old, little Stephen. When we got on that boat, I had bought him a hamburger and fries. And, you know, he's walking around the boat with his hamburger and fries eating while people are just blah, blah, you know. And he didn't know what was going on. He didn't know any fear about sinking or anything. You know, why? He's with his daddy. He knew he's with his father. Everything's fine. Can we live that way? I believe we can. We can know that God is that close to us. He's not only made us sons. This term, Abba, Father, is a real endearing Father type word. And that's why I like to hear my son call me Pop-Pop, 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 Pop-Pop. It's like Abba, Father. He's that close. Jesus said this to the disciples. He says, I'm no longer calling you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Well, listen, I'm going to help us get better acquainted with the Father's business, because we want that kind of a relationship. We sing that song sometimes. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Okay, let me close on this. So we have the Holy Spirit in us, working in us. We have a relational fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. But we also have the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about change in us. I'm going to go to one more reference here in Galatians 5. I'm putting it up on the screen, beginning with verse 16. It says, So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit's what's contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you end up not doing what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. He says sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, somebody say but. But the fruit of the Spirit. And that's where we get this lineup of everything that we have because we have God in us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm just asking God to awaken all these virtues that we have, all these character traits that we have of God in us. As we come out, we're coming out. We're coming out now out of this season of darkness, coming out with the light and the life of Christ. You say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, the Bible says you're being transformed. It's a process. We, with unveiled faces, we reflect the Lord's glory. We're being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. That word transformed, that's a big word. So it bears some breaking down. The Greek word is metamorpho. It's the change that's as radical as a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. It's a dramatic change. Some of you have received that change. You're not the same person, and your spouse thanks God for that, right? We all thank God for that. But I just want to say, let's anticipate that. Let's believe for that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. I want us to get up every morning and say, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I mean, to see ourselves. We want to see ourselves as world changers because the kingdom of God has brought us into that kind of fellowship with the creator of the universe. We can make a difference to the world around us. So I'm declaring that the new normal for the church is going to be to activate our role in the world today, to activate the power of God that's in us to make a difference in the world around us. You know, the world's desperate for this, church. And never have there been a greater demand. Our people that are going out ministering to people on the streets, it's getting easier and easier. Because if you offer prayer to somebody, you know, I'm thinking of my neighbor who was going in for an operation, who ended up coming over to my yard to talk to me. Never does that. Came over to talk to me, to tell me about it. An opportunity, because the world's getting darker, for me to put my hands on his and to pray. He was going in for heart surgery. They're going to open him up, go into his heart. Man, you better be right with God before you do that. And they put you out and you're in a 7 or 8 hour operation. You think people are going to get right with God? Oh, yes. And then they're going to call upon the name of the Lord. So I believe, church, that's what the pandemic has done for us. We got Pastor John here, and he's going to sing a song. I'm asking God, without an altar call today, for God to just do something in each of our hearts. Let's just close our eyes right now. I've been saying we have a relational connection with God. I want us to think about what it would take to come into more fellowship with God. Not just to know that you're a child of God, but to engage the Father. To learn more about Him, to hear His voice. This song that John is going to sing, I want you to put the words up on the screen if we can. It says, I want to know you, Lord, like I know a friend. And I'm laying down my religion. I want to know you, Lord. All the words that, as you sent it to me, Pastor John, I got to say, it really carries out the word that I've preached today. But here's what I want to happen. I want you just to yield to the Holy Spirit, just as you're sitting there today. And in closing, I want you just to ask the Lord to awaken His Spirit in you. And as we go forward in this series, I'm going to ask God to engage every aspect of our lives to make us more effective, closer with Him, and throw in a bigger shadow. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Sing it for us.